It was about last week or so, and I'm trying to decide what to study, you know, for my personal devotions, which book of the Bible to go through. And I wasn't sure, and I wasn't pulling towards anything. I didn't see God directing me to a particular book, and I decided to pull up some randomizer thing online and just get the list of the New Testament books and put them in there and let it make, you know, jumble them up, and I picked the top one. So I pressed submit. At the top of the list was Galatians. So I said, okay, all right, let's go with that, you know. Proverbs talks about how God, the lot is cast in the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. And when we see the apostles drawing lots, they did it when there was equally good options. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend that in all cases. Sometimes we use that as an excuse to not listen to God's voice. But in this case, I saw it as being a good thing. And as I started reading through Galatians, I started realizing how much I needed to be reading Galatians. And God really blessed me as I'm going through here. A very beautiful chapter, which I haven't read for a while. I was like, I forgot this was in here. but anyway... So I want to take you on a journey through some of the lessons that God really highlighted to me. We're going to be doing this in a little weird order, you may notice, but that's okay. What really matters is that the Spirit of God is here, and that He speaks His truth, He speaks His words, that He is our teacher, not me, but He is our teacher, and He uses my words to speak His truth. So let's go ahead and invite Him to come and be our teacher, and that He would reveal what He knows we need. Father, we do thank You for the work of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has been promised to take away our sin. And we come before You by His blood. We just ask that You, Holy Spirit of God, would come, that You would fill this place with Your presence, and that You would speak to us, that You would reveal the Father to us, that You, Spirit of Christ, would reveal Christ and His work to us, that we would understand what it means to accept that, to hear by faith, to live by faith, to walk in faith in You, Jesus. Speak to our hearts. We need Your truth, teacher. And we ask this because of Jesus. Amen. So Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 23. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. I know I just read a lot, and sometimes it's easy to stop paying attention halfway into the reading, but I just want us to dwell on this truth here. I said a lot there, but let's focus on basically what Paul is talking about. He's talking about the people who are under the law. They're God gave these rules, and he says, if you keep these, then you will live, then you'll be protected. And people tried to keep these rules, the law, and they failed. They were bound under the law, they were imprisoned by the law because it showed them they're wrong. They tried, maybe they kept it in some points, but they failed in others, and they were guilty because of the law. But here's something pretty cool. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I mean, the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different than a slave. So think of a child in his master's house, in his master, well, not his master, his dad's house. his father is very rich, and he's the firstborn son. He's going to get the inheritance. He's going to receive everything in the household when he gets older. But at this point, when he's a child, he's no different than a slave. Though he's the owner of everything. He's no different than a servant, though he's destined to receive everything. He goes on to say, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. And he's the owner of everything. Okay, he's destined for this. Think about a circle up here. But he's down here. He's stuck in this circle down here as if he's a slave, okay? And he can't do anything about that. He can't push a few buttons and become this, okay? So in the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. So we also, without Christ, we were down here, enslaved. No different than a slave. We had no opportunity to pull ourselves out of it and bring us to what we were destined for, but we were destined for this great inheritance from the Father. But we're stuck here. We're trapped. We're slaves. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law. So think about it. God, the Son, comes down from this circle, enters our circle, born under the law to redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. So Jesus comes down from this circle, comes into this, brings us out into this circle, into what we are destined for, so that we might receive adoption as sons. So now we're heirs. Now we're owners of everything. If we're in Christ, we're sons of God. That's what it says in Galatians 3, jumping back a few verses. Verse 25. But now that faith has come, faith in Christ, we have a reason, someone to put our faith in, is the work of Jesus Christ, who came to earth, who lived a perfect life, who fulfilled the law. He completed this thing that was impossible for us to complete, and he made a passageway for us to get to the Father. So now that we have a reason, a hope in our faith, for our faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under a garden. We're no longer bound to this circle. We're in Christ Jesus. You are all sons of God through faith. If you are in Christ Jesus, you're a son of God through faith. Now, other parts of the Bible talk about sons and daughters. This part is emphasizing the fact that we get an inheritance. So, you can call yourself a daughter, you can call yourself a son, but the important thing is that you get an inheritance from the Father, and God is your Father now. He's your King, but he's also your Father. He loves you dearly. In verse 27, it says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. I just want to talk about that word baptized into Christ Jesus, because a lot of times we hear baptized in Christ Jesus, and we think, okay, well, I got baptized, you know, water baptism, we're Baptists, that's what we do. Is that what it's talking about? I don't believe so. I don't believe that is what the Scripture is referring to. There are some people who make the case that in order to become a Christian, go to have right standing with the Father, you have to be baptized. But is that what Scripture teaches? Is that what Jesus taught? when he spoke to the thief on the cross beside him and said, "This day you'll be with me in paradise," did he tell him, "You got to get off the cross and go get baptized first because that's my requirement"? No. The thief believed in Jesus. The thief confessed to the other thief, "Hey, this guy is innocent. I know who he is." That's the requirement. Faith in Jesus. And we're going to talk about that more later. But baptized into Christ, it still says baptized. So why does it use this word baptized? Baptized, from what I understand about the Greek word for that word, is that it means to be immersed, to be covered in, to be filled with. And there's another definition which basically is to be dyed or tie-dyed. And it's not just, because I understand there's two different types of dye. One is the dye that it gets on the clothes and it washes out eventually. But this type of dye would be a dye where the dye becomes inseparable from the cloth. The dye and the cloth are now chemically attached to each other. You can't separate, well, this is the dye and this is the cloth. They're one together. So when we are baptized into Christ Jesus, we became one. We became immersed in Christ. Our identity and his identity are fused together. There's no longer Joel, just Joel. Now it's Joel and Jesus baptized into one. That's what it means to be baptized into Christ. That's what saves us. And the way that we do that is not like, well, you got to jump through these hoops, you got to do this, and you got to do this. It's through faith in Jesus, and it's the Holy Spirit who baptizes us into Christ. How would you think about it? How would we change our nature, our deepest nature of our individual person? How would we think and act and do something to make us one with Jesus? We can change our outward appearance. You know, we can change what we do. We can affect what we think even, but only so deep. It's the Holy Spirit who comes in. That's why Jesus says those who, when he's talking to Nicodemus, he says, "You must be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." It has to be the Spirit of God who does this rebirthing. Okay, that's what it means to be baptized into Christ Jesus. Everybody who is a Christian is baptized into Christ Jesus. Baptism is an outward sign saying, I've died to my old way of life. The just me has died, and now I'm raised to newness of life with Christ Jesus. That's an outward sign, but that's something that man does. And it's not bad. It's actually commanded. We should do that. But it's an outward sign. It's a confession of what has happened internally. As many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. And what does it say about you who are in Christ? For in Christ, you're all sons of God through faith. Okay. We're going to jump back to verse 10 of Galatians 3. Well, actually, we're going to go back to verse 10. That's okay. "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.'" What does this mean? What is this? "All who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.'" Remember when I was referring to the law, it's this referring to this circle again, you know, where we're all at without Christ. We're here, and there's a standard set. In order to be right with God, you've got to complete all these laws. You have to do it all. You have to do it perfectly. And if you do it perfectly, you'll be blessed. In Deuteronomy 28, we find God speaking to the people of Israel, and he's saying, listen, if you keep my law, when you walk in my ways, there's going to be all these blessings. Your nation's going to prosper. Your people are going to be blessed. Your enemies will flee from you. You'll live in health. There will be, these different good things that everybody can look at and say, you know, I want that. I want that, you know. And God also says, if you reject my ways, if you walk against this, if you break my laws, if you break my commandments, there's going to be these curses that come upon you. And I want us to think about it, because sometimes this can be a kind of tricky passage when we're talking about God is love. Okay, if God is love, then it makes it hard, you know, well, then why does he like want to send this stuff on us? Well, think about it like this. God is light, it says in John, 1 John 1. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He is the creator. He is the source of everything that is good. He is the source of life. And when we are with him, we receive his life. When we are in the light, we receive the life that we've been made to have. And when we walk away from him, the further we get away from him, the further we're in darkness. And darkness does not have life. Darkness is the absence of life. It brings death. It brings corruption. It brings destruction. So as we walk away from God, we say, no, God, you know, I think I can handle it myself. And we walk in all these different ways, give all these different reasons. But ultimately, we're walking into death. And that's what happens. I mean, it's the curse of the law. And we're all there. It's this circle that I've been talking about, this second circle, and we're destined for the first circle. This glorious inheritance where we receive the blessings of God, and yet we're stuck here, and we see curse, and we see affliction and suffering and pain, and there's addictions and bondage and hurt, and there's disease and corruption and just all kind of stuff, sin. We just can't seem to like get over. Okay, and what Jesus did, let's continue going. Now it's evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. And when we're here, there's no way that we can get here. We, even if we could, we would still be guilty for those things that we did in that circle. You can't be justified. It is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for righteous shall live by faith. It says it, I believe it's four times in the Bible, four different places. It basically says the righteous shall live by faith. In Romans, it talks about how the Jews did not understand the righteousness of God, for they tried to basically make their own righteousness. They said, you know, by our ways, we're going to do these things, and we're going to be righteous. But they're stuck in this circle, and it's evident that no one is justified by the law. No one is justified by their own actions. The righteousness of God only comes by faith. Let's continue going. The one who does them shall live by them. Basically talking about the law once again. If you're going to do the law, you have to do it perfectly, and then you get your life from that. But if you mess up, dead. And we all fail. We all falter there. So, continuing on, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. So we had this problem. We were stuck in here. You know, once again, we're going to come back to the circle. We're stuck in this second circle with curse and brokenness and despair and all these things. And we were guilty because we participated in these things. We walked in darkness. We deserved death. All this disgusting stuff that God never intended for us to walk in. And yet we chose it willingly. And Adam and Eve, the first people who decided, you know, we're going to go this way, God. They walked into darkness and they saw the corruption of it. So we're stuck here. We can't get out. But what Jesus did, he redeemed us from the curse of the law by what? By coming in and becoming cursed himself. It says, for becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. He was hung on a tree for our sake, willingly. The tree being the cross. He was hung on a tree for us to take the punishment off of us and to bring us blessing of Abraham, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith, so we might come into this first circle that we are destined for, receive the inheritance of God, to become sons of God, be baptized into Christ Jesus through faith. Such a beautiful thing. Let's jump back to verse 1 in chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and was counted to him as righteousness. So the problem here is that the Galatians, they accepted Jesus by faith. They were translated out from this circle into the circle they were destined for. They're heirs with God. They're sons and daughters of God. They're in the blessing of Abraham, promised. They received the Holy Spirit. Okay? They're here where they were called to be, where they were destined for, where God designed us all to live. Such a beautiful place. And yet, now, they're starting to fall back into this circle in their minds. They're starting to walk in this. It says in verse 2, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Let's just think about that for a second. Because I know for myself personally, and I'm sure for you as well, we're made right with God by faith. And yet, sometimes we try to take this burden onto ourselves and say, you know, well, I need to do this better because when I don't, then God's not pleased with me. I need to really work harder to really get God's attention, and then maybe he'll listen to me more. I need to be nicer to people, as if it earns us favor, as if we gotta keep earning this. But Paul says, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? So did God bring us into this first circle so that we can live like we're in this circle? And the answer is no. The answer is, we began by the Spirit. We began by his work. Remember, he's the one who baptized us into Christ Jesus, doing a work that none of us could do. Now, it doesn't negate the responsibilities that God gives us and the callings that he gives us. But we're calling out when we take this weight on ourselves that we were never supposed to have. I really like in verse 5 when he says, "Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" Verse 5, what's the answer to that question? God who gives us his Holy Spirit, does he do it because we did a bunch of good things last week? And he says, "Well, I'll do good things for you this week because you made me happy." Where does God's pleasure in us come from? Is it our work of the law? Is it our doing things right and looking good and wearing the right clothes on Sabbath and saying the right things on Sabbath and treating people right and offering to pray for people and posting nice things on Facebook and talking nice to people and helping people out? Is that where God's pleasure in us comes from? The answer is no. Is that where we got the Holy Spirit? Did we get the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, God inside of us, to where he talks to us, he guides us in all things, he loves us, he leads us, he teaches us, he provides for us, he protects us, God the Father? Did we earn that because one day we just did everything right and God said, "All right, here you go, first circle, I'm granting this to you"? Well, then, now that we're in this first circle by faith in Jesus, the truth is that it only comes through faith in Jesus, as it says, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. It goes on to say, "Know then," in verse 7, "know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all the nations be blessed.' So then," check this out, "those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." Where are we placing our faith? Is it in what I do? You know, last week I did really good, so this week I can expect a miracle. I can expect God to answer my prayers because I did this and I fed that sick person and I helped this person out and you know, whatever. You know, God, I listened to you when you said turn off the whatever and turn this on and call this person up on the phone. So now you owe me this blessing. That's living in this second circle, feeling like we have to earn it, we have to work it, when rather the righteousness of God, the gift of the Spirit, the baptism into Christ Jesus, the inheritance that we have as sons and daughters of God, miracles, answered prayers, favor with God, it all comes through Jesus Christ and through us placing our faith in Jesus Christ. So that means when we come before God, we don't come on behalf of what we did last week, or what we did today, or what we plan to do tomorrow, or whenever. We don't come on behalf of the amount of money that we donated. We don't come on the amount of time that we spent in God's Word. We don't come on behalf of whatever, how we're feeling or not feeling. We don't come on behalf of not messing up. We come on behalf because of the blood of Jesus shed for us on that tree when he became cursed to remove the curse, to make us sons and daughters of God, make us blessed right along with Abraham, so that we might receive the promised Holy Spirit, so that we can live like God designed us to live, shining his light everywhere we go, shining his power and his goodness, being evidence that God exists in the world. Let's jump back into Galatians 2, verse 20. Sorry, you're going to have to go to the next tab. 2 verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's a really powerful passage when we really think about it. I've been crucified into Christ, crucified with Christ. That means that's referring back to the baptism. It's no longer me independently, like I make my own decisions, I walk my own life, I have my own life. You know, sometimes I bring God into it, sometimes I don't. No, that person's dead, and there's a new person. And he's raised to life with Christ, and Christ is baptized into him, tie-dyed into him. Christ and this person are inseparable. There's a new life here. I was crucified with Christ. When Jesus died, I died right alongside with him. The Holy Spirit is the one who made that happen. I was crucified with Christ. Just as Jesus went down and took the judgment, I went down right along with him, took the judgment, and now I was raised with Jesus to newness of life. And just as Jesus is righteous, he had no sin, he has right standing with the Father, he has blessings with the Father, he has the inheritance, I now am standing right with him, righteous, paid for. I have right standing with the Father. No more guilt, no more shame. I have the blessing of the Father. I have the inheritance. I have everything that I need to accomplish the purposes that God calls me to. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me. I like to, when I quote this verse, I quote it as, who loves me. Don't just say, he did love me. He loves me. Who loves me and gave himself for me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. So where, what circle are we living in? We're living in this one, but are we living it like we're living in this one, or are we living it like we're living in this one? Are we living it like we're sons and daughters, we have this inheritance with God? Or are we living it like we got to make this thing work? Where's the weight? What are we putting the weight on? Is it on us? We got to, like, you know, we've been put in a good place, but you better keep it there by your actions. Or are we continuing to come to the Father and just saying, Father, I thank you because of the amazing price that Jesus' blood has paid for me, to where I can come before your throne. I don't have to worry about those things. You know, if I fall into sin, because in 1 John, he says, I write these things to you if you sin. But his goal there wasn't that, oh, you're going to fall into sin. He says, I write these things to you that if you sin, but he also talks about that you may not sin, that you may walk without sin, that you may walk as just as God is light and in him is no darkness at all, and he lives inside of you, there's light inside of you, that light should be coming out. Darkness has no place in you any longer because the dark you is dead. That old circle is dead. You've been brought to a new circle of light and life and blessing and inheritance with God by the blood of Jesus. So are we walking? How are we walking? Are we walking by faith in that? When we come to God in our prayers, do we feel like we got to make it up to him? Or do we just say, God, I'm here by the blood of Jesus, and by what he's done for me? Is the life that we live lived in faith in the Son of God who loves us, gave himself for us to baptize us into himself? I think there's an illustration that I like. I heard just this past week, I was going through one of these courses, and he talked about how the Holy Spirit is our leader. In Romans 8, it talks about how, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And we just talked about how we're sons of God, you know, because we're in Christ, we're sons of God. So it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So we're sons of God, so that means we're also led by the Spirit of God. And notice who it puts the emphasis on as in this passage. It's not about us, it's about him being the leader. It's not the emphasis on us being the follower, it's the emphasis on him being the leader. Now think about it. If I'm going to go on a walk with our dog, many of you have seen our dog, Abby, if I'm going to lead her on a walk, I am going to take responsibility for her. I'm going to walk. Maybe I'll have a leash. Maybe she'll just be walking with me. She does that. But I have the responsibility to take care of her. And she starts walking off to smell some tree or look at something or whatever. I'll call her back. Hey, Abby, you know, get back here. You know, I'm looking out for her. You know, she doesn't always do everything like she's supposed to. You know, she doesn't always stay. She doesn't always, you know, whatever. But the emphasis is that I am the leader. She is following, but I'm a better leader than she is a follower, right? Isn't that the same way with God, with the Holy Spirit who leads us? We don't always do everything like we're supposed to. Sometimes we put so much weight on us, like we have to get everything perfect. We have to figure everything out and do it perfectly, because if we don't, then he's going to forget you. You know, you just go off and you fall off and get attacked by the whatever. No, he calls us back. Hey, what are you doing? Get back here. You're going to get hurt. And when we don't hear it, then he makes something more evident, you know? He loves us. He gave himself for us. He's not just going to let his precious child just run off and get killed. He's going to move heaven and earth, bring this child where he wants them. And it doesn't negate our responsibility. We do have responsibility. And when we walk into briars, I mean, our feet's going to get hurt and whatever, you know. There's consequences when we walk into sin, but Jesus desires us to walk in this first circle, in the blessing of God and the beauty of God and the light of God. Because remember, when we walk in the light, there's blessing, there's beauty. That's walking by faith in the Son of God. So as we are sons of God, not that we are the Son of God, God the Son, but we are sons of God, we are children of God, beloved and dear to him. His heart goes out to us. I was reading a definition on that word. I think it's so important that we understand the love of the Father. The definition of that word is basically someone who is favored by you, someone who is dearly, deeply loved, someone who you desire to run out and hug, embrace them. Think about some of the most dear people in your life and how you picture them. And maybe you're at the grocery store. I don't know why the grocery store. I was thinking Walgreens or something when I pictured this. But you're at Walgreens and you look and you see that person. What is in your heart towards that person? I want to bless this person. I want to love this person. I want to give them a hug. I want, whatever you do to people that you love, your heart goes out to them though, right? And that's what God, that's how God views us, his beloved children. His heart goes out to us. He's not in heaven watching us and just saying, this person, I don't know how much longer I'm able to bear with this person. No, he loves them. Desires to bless us. Sometimes we need to be walking by faith in him before we can receive his blessing in certain things. Okay, stop taking the weight on ourselves and saying, nope, no, God, I got it. I'll walk, I'll do these things, and I'll figure it out. And then he says, okay, you figure it out, but you're cutting yourself off from my blessing. But when we come back to him and we say, you know, Father, I believe the work of Jesus for me. And I just come and I just thank you and I love you. Thank you for loving me. You know, maybe we don't understand his love like we should. I know I don't. I need to understand it better. I think growing up in the church, I've been kind of numbed to what it means that God loves me. You know, and that's not good. Something went wrong. I'm not pointing a finger, but something went wrong there. I should understand it. I should love it. You know, so I've been asking God, help me to understand your love better. And he is, and he continues to. So I continue to ask him, because when the Bible says that when we understand God's love, then we're filled with the fullness of God. So I just encourage you guys, when you get alone with God, just thank God that you're loved. Thank God that you're not in this circle anymore, trapped as a slave. You have to work out to figure things out and to make things work. But no, you're here. God is your leader. God is your guide. God is your father. He loves you. He directs you. It's not that you have to get everything perfect, but you walk by faith in the Son of God who loves you and gave himself for you. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not graciously give us all things as well? So I encourage us. That's my encouragement for us. When you feel yourself taking the weight on yourself to make things work, realize that he is the one who makes things work. And yes, we have responsibility, as I've said. And when we walk in that responsibility, beautiful things happen, because as we get closer into God, who is light and life and beauty and everything good, we experience more of those things. But realize the weight isn't on us. The weight's been taken by Jesus, and now we can walk as righteous sons and daughters of him. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fret and say, oh, I messed up today. No, we can come before God and say, God, I repent of that. And I thank you that I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. That my relationship is still here because I didn't pay for it to begin with. You did. That's my encouragement to us. Let's be sons and daughters. Sons and daughters of God. Sons and daughters that when people look at us, they say, you know, there's something different about this person. That person's baptized into Christ. Now, I probably don't say it like that, but there's something in this person inseparable from something, someone amazing that I want to know. You know, they just live shining God's light everywhere you go. Now, it doesn't come by you saying, I'm going to try harder. It's by you getting closer to your Father. And in that, you behave more like a son, more like a daughter, and you can understand your inheritance deeper and walk in it by faith in the Son who gave himself for you. Let's pray.